Good afternoon, and it's time for you to Ask the Mayor here on WFIU. Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett is joining us by cell phone from the federal prison in Terre Haute, where he is not a resident. He's merely visiting. Mr. Mayor, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
The toll numbers to call to speak with Mayor Bennett are toll-free 877-285-9348. You can also send an email to mayor@indiana.edu, or you can instant message to WFIU Mayor. And we want to extend a special welcome to our Terre Haute Vigo County listeners, and we hope that you'll join the program today and share us your thoughts on city issues. Mayor Bennett, what exactly are you doing at the federal prison?
Well, they're having a meeting today of the, it's basically a community involvement with the prison, and they have a meeting periodically to have the folks on this committee to be able to hear what's going on at the prisons, how we can be better partners with each other, and just really getting an update. There's a new warden here. She's only been here a couple of months, and she's just getting acclimated to the community herself, and just really trying to share some information between some local officials and members of the business community with what's going on with the federal prison.
How many people does the federal prison employ in the Terre Haute area?
There's about 720, which we just got that update, 720 employees with about a $57 million a year salary and benefits.
That's huge.
It's very huge.
Yeah, that's big. I'm just curious, what kind of stuff gets talked about in a meeting like that?
Well, a lot of things revolved around kind of what are they doing here specifically in Terre Haute. This is a very unique setup where there's actually three different prisons here on this campus. And just a lot of the things, like, I didn't realize they're making shirts for the military here, for the Navy, and for the Marines. They make blankets and lots of other things for our other military that goes directly overseas to our military serving. Just a lot of neat things they're doing from a work side of the program, but also doing some things with just the psychology piece of it here, of trying to do some different unique things with the prisoners that are here to keep them, you know, focused on getting out of prison and being productive members of society. And they have an extensive program here in the psychology area that I really wasn't aware of the depth of it until just today. And just doing a lot of really progressive type of things here in Terre Haute.
So it's more than the federal death row.
Yeah, exactly. That's just kind of a very small piece of it. There's 3,300 prisoners here. I believe they said there's several dozen on death row, but so it's a very small part of it.
Let's go ahead and have a look at an item in the morning's paper that kind of struck my eye in the Tribune Star. Austin Arceo has this terrific piece talking about election costs, all the costs that it took for the city to get folks like you put into your current positions in municipal government. And it comes into about $538,000, almost twice what it cost last year. And, of course, Vigo County Clerk Pat Manser just says, hey, look, this is just the cost of all of the state and federal mandates that we're facing to purchase updated equipment. Do you buy that? And my pun is intended.
Well, you know, it's extremely expensive. I was shocked when – I guess I was a little bit shocked when I found out it was about $250,000 or $282,000, I think, the first time, because I never really – I don't think that was reported in the paper, you know, previously, 4 years ago. Didn't realize it was that much. And when we got a copy of the bill here that – when I took office, it's like, come on, what's going on with this? And so we got a breakdown and took a look at it. But that is just an astronomical amount of money to conduct an election. So we've got to find ways to, you know, we want people to vote. We got to make it easy for them to vote. But we got to find a way to do it much less expensive than that, because that is a tremendous hit on the budget.
Yeah, had you
conduct an election.
Had you gotten advance notice that it was going to be that high from the clerk's office?
No, I didn't until we got a copy of the bill. So I wasn't plugged into that at all. And it's like, okay, they put, you know, I looked at last year, the budget that was put together for 2009, and it's like, whoa, we're way short on this. So that's why we began to investigate to see what was going on. And, you know, that's an extremely high amount of money for, well, we had about 12,000 voters. So, you know, in the fall election, that covers both elections, but you know, that's a lot of money to conduct an election. We've got to find a way to reduce that cost.
Well, that was a big turnout for a municipal election, wasn't it?
Well, it's about average, I guess. It wasn't anything astronomical. It was a little bit better than it was in 2003 when I ran, but I still think we can do much better.
I'm guessing you're going to have a conversation with the county about what you should be budgeting for next time around.
Absolutely, because I don't know about if there's other mandates and other things that are coming down out there. there ought to be some reimbursement somewhere out there to help us pay for some of those things.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Wishful thinking.
Yeah, right. We're speaking to Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. Feel free to join the conversation. Toll free 877-285-9348. You can also send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. Now, let's talk about something that happened soon after our last conversation, which is that it looks as though trends in the global economy are finally going to benefit Terre Haute for once as of late, which is that that Blu-ray disc won the format war. And that's important to Terre Haute because our other listeners might not know that most of the Blu-ray discs manufactured for the North American market are manufactured right there in Terre Haute. Now, I imagine you approach that news with some optimism but also with a little bit of caution, right?
Yeah, you know, that's the technology market. You know how quickly things can change anyway. But what a great thing to happen to Terre Haute. You know, we've had some tough times over the years, and this is just one of those things that continues to grow and really take off, and kind of just waiting to see which technology would emerge. And when, you know, when we heard that the Blu-ray was the one that really just took the lead, it was like, what? That's a great thing for the people that work at Sony and DADC, and just, you know, just really it is a very positive thing, not only for those that work there, but just for just the market and just the identity of being in Terre Haute. And just there's so many positive things with that, and you're right. We're finally a part of that global kind of a thing where we're really directly involved in that.
So how does that work for you as mayor? When you see that news, do you then get on the phone with somebody at Sony DADC and say, hey, we're happy to work with you if you want to expand, something along those lines?
Yeah, and some of those discussions were taking place even prior to me being in office. That mm-hmm. The hope was there. You know, the optimism was there, just wasn't sure if it was going to play out. And so there's been people from not only our local economic development commission, but from the state, that we're looking at some things and some incentives to help them, because they are definitely going to be expanding and adding staff. And, you know, all that's positive, and we're on board with that, and we're going to do everything we can to do to support that.
I remind our listeners again, we're speaking to Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett. 877-285-9348 is the toll-free number to call. Let's see. Oh, by the way, who's the new Parks Board superintendent?
Well, hopefully we'll be able to announce that later today.
Oh, really?
You know, it's very unique, and a lot of people, I don't think, understand that kind of how that particular appointment works. But, you know, the mayor gets to select someone who they would like, but then there's a confirmation, basically, by the Park Board, by state statute. And today there's a special Parks Board meeting that hopefully they will, you know, endorse the candidate that I presented to them, and we'll be able to announce that later this afternoon.
And it's a little bit trickier than some of your other appointments, right, because there are some state guidelines as to the qualifications for the candidate, right?
Right. You know, they're really looking for a recreational-type degree from, you know, an accredited program, a college degree, and an experience in that field. So, yeah, you know, a lot of positions, you could just pretty much put anybody you wanted into those positions, and this one is very specific and has some very specific requirements. And just finding the right person that has the same vision that my administration does to really, our parks are a huge asset, and we want that to be a positive thing to take us into the future.
At the same time, though, I have to imagine that the lingering tough feelings surrounding everything that happened with the former Height Center has to impact on any kind of discussions involving the Parks Board. How does that factor into your thinking in selecting a candidate?
Well, it doesn't factor that much into it, because, I mean, that has happened in the past. And what I'm trying to do is put a team together of people who are very customer service oriented and know that, you know, we're just serving the community. That's our whole role. And I believe that all the department heads that I put in place so far exhibit those kind of characteristics. It's very important to me. And same thing with the Parks Board, you know, to put somebody in there who can take it to the next level. You know, there's going to be changes of administrations and new people that come on board and new Parks Board members all the time. And what you got to do is establish something that will withstand and move on beyond the people who are involved at a specific given time. And so, you know, that's my goal, is just to find those kind of people that help us move Terre Haute forward.
City Councilman Todd Nation has been kind enough to send in an email question. He'd like to have you give us an update on the groundwater contamination around Standard Register.
Okay. Yeah, that's been a real issue up there that we've been working. You know, the previous administration, the city council's been very involved with that. You know, there's been some real issues up there with some contamination. And what I'd like to see happen, excuse me, would be, you know, Standard Register needs to step up to the plate and help us to solve this problem. It's the residents of that community are very concerned about contamination in their water, and the council has hired an attorney to work with them to address some specific issues in that part of town. But it's kind of bigger than that about how we deal with these kind of environmental issues. And I just got some new information today that I haven't had time to digest completely, but we're looking at ways to be able to have them to do their part and to help us solve that problem in that area, in that part of town. And you know, I haven't had direct conversations with them. There's some, you know, some legal activity going on and lawyers talking to each other, and I've kind of stayed out of that part of it. But we are trying to be there for the residents, and the city council's done an excellent job to this point of making that happen, and the administration is backing them and getting involved at that level to bring closure to this problem.
Has Standard Register even admitted faults in the entire affair?
No, but I think that's probably coming from the guidance of their attorneys, never, you know, to admit anything, but then willing to step up and help solve the problem. You know, I don't want to blame anybody or who knows exactly what really happened, but it seems that all the evidence points to that, and so we need to work together to solve it.
And so my understanding is that the residents around the site are on well water. Are they getting water from anywhere else now, or are they getting some additional treatment of their water right now, or what's happening? Can they use their well water?
Yeah, they can. I mean, some of them can. There are some that have been identified as being contaminated and others that are not. That's what's kind of weird about this, because you really want to make sure you do a good, thorough, and a follow-up test to make sure that it wasn't just hadn't reached their property yet or whatever. What's important is to make sure that the water is safe. And in this particular case, I'm not sure that anybody can make that claim until we test it repeatedly. And so getting them hooked up to Indiana American Water is the goal here, and get them off the wells. I mean, that will solve the problem.
Is that a really long-term goal? How quickly could you do that?
Well, we think it can happen fairly quickly. It's just there's some dickering going on about who's paying for what, who's going to be willing to hook up to what, and whether it's acceptable to the residents.
Yeah.
You know, they've offered to pay for their water bills for a period of time, and it's really just getting an agreement and then getting it implemented. So we're going to try to push that as hard as we can.
And the contaminated area does border on a school property, doesn't it?
Yes, it's just directly to the south of Terre Haute North Vigo High School.
And what is the testing around the school indicated?
Well, they're showing as not a problem. You know, of course, they're on city
water,
so they're not in a well. So, you know, they have found some issues. It seems to be moving. Standard Register, the old Standard Register building, is directly east of the North High School building, and this seemed to have traveled in a southeast location, went just south of the school or across school property into that subdivision directly to the south of the school. And so, you know, I'm not an environmental kind of engineer to really tell you, or geological kind of person, but it would seem that is the most logical source of that, and we're just trying to get it taken care of.
We're speaking with Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. Feel free to give us a call and join the conversation. Toll free 877-285-9348. You can also send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. Mr. Mayor, last time that we talked, we were talking about the city's 20-year contract with Republic Services for trash pickup, and how it's an awfully long contract, and it's a situation that it seems a lot of city residents aren't particularly happy with, particularly in the aspect of recycling. What are the barriers in Terre Haute right now to curbside recycling?
Well, I think in the past, it's just been the fact that we didn't have a system.
Right.
I mean, people could voluntarily take to a couple of locations. But now that we actually have the opportunity to have curbside recycling at a cost, and we realize that, kind of what we've learned since the last time we talked, you know, on this program was kind of what works and what doesn't in other communities that, you know, have implemented this kind of a thing. And what Republic has told us from their basically nationwide statistics, about 12 to 18% of the people actually recycle in a community. And so the goal here of the previous administration was to get a program in place but not have everybody in, you know, all the taxpayers pay for recycling if only a small portion would use it. We just have an obstacle here of really education and getting people on board. I mean, it would be great if we could go to a bigger, you know, dumpster for recycling and go to a smaller one for the trash versus the way it is now. And so we just hope through that education process we'll get more people on board and take less material to the landfill. Now, that remains to be seen. I think there's a lot of people out there would like to see that successful, but on the other hand, there's a lot of people that just simply don't care, and they just throw it in the trash can and really don't care where it goes to, and that's the ones that we need to really begin to educate the benefits to the community and how to keep costs down. So I think we've got a challenge there, but we've got a lot of folks that want to help us make that a reality.
We've got, while we're talking about junk here, we've got an email from Bill. It says, "Mr. Bennett, when is the city government going to take a proactive role in the changeover of the trash pickup system? So far, the only word many citizens have received is a very small door hanger the city needs to advertise."
Well, that's the first door hanger. Then there's a second piece of correspondence that will be coming, and then there'll be a third piece when they actually deliver the trash cans. We've had two public meetings so far to show, well, one big, large public meeting, but we've had another smaller one where we got information out to some folks that are helping us communicate that in the community. We've got some public service announcements that are, as we kick this off in the next 2 weeks, with both TV stations, radio, and with the newspaper. If people have any questions at all, they should feel free to call Republic Services Direct. They're the ones that have the contract. You know, the city of Terre Haute signed the contract with a private entity, and so they're the ones responsible for it. We're just in a position to help facilitate this. So they can call the mayor's office. They can call the Board of Public Works. We'll be happy to help them. We'll answer any questions they have. We'll help them get signed up for recycling, anything that we can do. But people will soon see some more public service announcements. It's just, we don't have a lot of money to spend on that kind of a thing, so we want to make sure we use it wisely, and you'll soon see those kinds of things hitting the airwaves.
Well, Bill's got his own little public service message here that I'm just going to read because it's free.
Okay.
he says, "Terre Haute is junky, and we have an opportunity to clean it up, but unless there is a strong push to reach everyone and tell them how this new system works and encourage them to do it right, we'll make no progress." So I assume Bill looks forward to seeing that information campaign come.
Sure. I think that's a very valid comment.
We're speaking to Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor, toll-free 877-285-9348, or you can do what other folks have done and send us an email to mayor@indiana.edu. Mr. Mayor, let's talk a little bit about the legislature, because of all the mayors that we have on this program, you're going to have the last word in talking about property tax reform before it likely gets passed at this week. To what extent have you been following things? And I know that some mayors are planning to be at the State House later in the week. Are you going to be there?
No, I'm not going to be able to do that due to some commitments here. But, you know, we were getting updates on a daily basis as it moved through the House and through the Senate. But once it's gone into conference committee here, it really hasn't been a whole lot leaking out. So, you know, I've got bits and pieces of information. I'm just anxious to see what the final result is going to be, because, as I mentioned at the previous show that we had, Terre Haute's going to get hit pretty hard. Vigo County as a whole, but Terre Haute specifically, based on the original plan that the governor proposed. And it's roughly a 10% budget cut here. We've got a $56 million a year budget, and we're looking at about a $5.7 million cut in 2010. That's pretty big. So I'm hoping through all the as it's passed through the House and the Senate, there have been changes made. I've heard things have got a little bit better. It won't be quite the impact, but I'm really looking forward to hearing this final product, because we're going to have to educate the community. You know, we're going to have to cut back services. We're going to have to do something differently than what we've been doing. And I want to make sure people have that ahead of time, so we don't have to do anything kind of a shock kind of a situation in 2010.
Well, you know, Mayor Fred Armstrong over in Columbus had told us that the most frustrating part of this for him is that he doesn't feel like he's going to be able to raise supplementary revenue through local option income tax, or he fears that county officials aren't going to work with him on that. Do you feel you have the relationship with the Vigo County Council such that you could push through a local option income tax raise?
Well, you know, when Terre Haute or Vigo County didn't implement that tax until 2004, the Cadjet and the Edit
right.
tax here, and it was very controversial then. And, you know, I had pros and cons to it also, but the bottom line for me is property taxes. I like the fact that we're reducing property taxes. I hate the total dependence or significant dependence on property taxes. But on the other hand, we need to do things gradually in order to make sure that we're able to do things and serve the, you know, the constituents, serve the taxpayers. And I agree with the mayor in Columbus that, you know, you're not going to be able to get everybody on board to just make this money up. Something's probably going to have to get cut. Here, I'm just developing relationships with the county council and the county commissioners and trying to do some things in a positive way. So I think there's a lot of potential, but I'm not sure they're going to stand up and say, okay, let's raise, you know, income taxes now and make up the shortfall as the solution right off the bat until we really get a handle on the direct impact.
We may get I'm sorry, go ahead, sir.
So I was just going to say, I'm not sure, and I applaud the governor's efforts, but I'm not sure this has been, I think there's some just pieces of this that haven't been totally run, the numbers have been run all the way through to see the direct impact. And if we do have some, you know, economic issues, downturns, people aren't spending as much money from a sales tax revenue, you know, we could be losing more money than what we're projecting. And then how do you make that up in a short term? You really can't. Mm-hmm. And so without implementing some other fees or user fees or something else like that, it'll be difficult for city governments, cities and towns, to make up the difference.
We may get back to this, but we have to, for the time being, go back to the issue of trash, because Jane is on the line from Terre Haute, and she wants to talk she wants to talk garbage.
Yes, I do. I have a follow-up question on the recycling, and then I have a trash question that I have never heard anybody discuss as of yet. The recycling question is this. I know we already have this negotiated settlement, but couldn't we possibly move as quickly as possible to a system where, yes, I understand only 15 or so percent of people actually recycle, but why couldn't we have a system where if a certain number of people are recycling, the price is this, if more people recycle, the price is this, if more people recycle, the price goes down with every time as the quantity of scale rises, the price should be going down. It seems to me that that would do two things. It would help. It would get the people who are recycling helping you to encourage other people to recycle, for one thing. And for another, it would become more and more appealing as the ball starts rolling down the hill. And you might encourage more people to do it.
Well, let's go ahead and let the mayor speak to that point before we get on your next question.
Okay. You know, I think that's a great point. You've got to keep in mind that we kind of inherited the contract that was signed, and so we're trying to work with that and make the best of it. And I think there's a lot of good things in it. And I think there's also room to negotiate within that contract. And I mentioned that last time. And I don't have anything specific, but I really believe that Republic will work with us to, if we can get that shift going the other way. I mean, it's very expensive to do trash. There's no question about that, and we really need to recycle. So if the trends change and we get people on board and we can actually do some things to save some money, you know, of course, from a business perspective, that may not be something. It kind of all depends what it is and what we can do, but I really believe there's some room to work in there to get people to shift over to that other system. And if we could get to the point where a lot of people are recycling and we have less trash pickups, then we ought to be able to do that within that same contract and not have to have people pay, you know, an additional fee. I just think that's a little bit down the road, you know?
Right. I agree. Okay. The other question is the leaves in the fall. No one has said anything about what happens. I mean, the only thing that's been said in the paper and that I have heard is that all of the trash must be in the containers. But the fall leaves obviously are not going to fit there. And when the city first started picking up leaves, we were supposed to put it in the tree row or whatever, and I did that. And then I started hearing from I would call the city, and they'd say, "Well, we don't want you to do that anymore. We want you to bag it so the leaves won't blow around." And I did that. And now what do I do?
Well, that's a great question, too. We really haven't started talking about the fall stuff.
Yeah, luckily you've got a few months to figure that out.
Right, but that's a very good point, because the leaf pickup is important, because we got to keep the leaves from going into our sewer system, and you know how all that stuff works. I mean, that's a real issue. So we're going to continue to do leaf pickup. It'd be great if people would bag their leaves and do what they can to put them in the trash. Yes, they will need to be in the trash cans. But I think maybe we might be able to work some different things out here before this fall to kind of get it from two or three different angles. And hopefully I'll be able to share more information with you on that. I don't want to tell you I have a specific plan. I have one in my head, but I haven't got with my staff yet to really be able to communicate what we want to do. But we will be doing leaf pickup this fall. We will vacuum. You will be able to bag them and put them in your trash, and Republic will take them away. But I'm looking for a third piece, maybe two, or we can help with some of those bagged leaves and pick them up ourselves. So I'll share more with you on that. If you contact the mayor's office too, we can give you some more, get you on our mailing list to make sure you get that information.
Okay, but Mayor, I have 2 acres of property with a lot of large trees on it, and I have over 100 bags of leaves every fall.
That's a lot of bags.
It's not going to go in the trash. Right.
I know. I pick up every one of them, so I know
how
many I have.
Yep. That's something we need to specifically address. You're right.
Thank you.
Hey Jane, before you get off the phone, if we could go back to recycling just for a second.
Yeah.
I'm curious, are you going to pay the $5.50
yes,
a month or whatever for recycling?
Yes, I am.
How do you feel about doing that?
You know what? I don't like the fact that I have to pay for it, and the people who don't recycle, that's not fun. But we all live on this planet, and we all better start doing everything we can, and I am going to do it. I don't care what it costs. So,
more power to you, Jane.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for the call.
Okay.
Yes,
bye.
All right. We've got just a few more minutes left here with Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett. Time for another call if we'd like to get someone in. 877-285-9348. You can send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. Mr. Mayor, you're going to an event now, right? Leadership Terre Haute. What happens there?
Yeah, you know, we have a program here in this community where we try to get people engaged with what's going on. And today is Government Day. And so they will be coming to City Hall to visit with me and give me an opportunity to kind of tell them about how city government functions. And really, you know, it's people from the community, typically younger professionals, we hope to get more engaged in the community and community service activities, or be able to, you know, understand how government works. So I'm going to spend an hour or so with this group to really kind of tell them specifically how I'm going to approach city government, but to really explain to them how it works and what they can do to support what we're doing and what we can do to help them and deliver better services in the community. So it's that exchange of information. So it'll be very interesting because it's usually a group that's very interested in this. They have, you know, it's a passion for them. They want to make Terre Haute a better place, and so they usually have some pretty good questions and pretty engaging conversation.
You know, on the issue of community involvement, we talked last time about how you had instituted this open door policy at your office and were just taking folks in. You were getting 5 or 6 a day. How many are you getting these days? Has it tapered off a little bit?
Yeah, it's probably down to about 2 or 3 a day.
That's still a lot.
It is, but it's really pretty easy to manage that amount. You know, some days are more difficult than others, and we have to have them schedule a meeting for the next day maybe because I'm, you know, running off to an outside meeting. But I think people just appreciate the fact that they can do that, and most don't take advantage of it if they know they can, you know, they can make a phone call or stop by and be able to see me. You know, that works for them, but we're getting a lot of emails and phone calls that are really doing that, and a lot of people don't have time to stop by. But it's just reaching out to as many different ways as we can. That's what I tried to do, and I think it's been very successful.
And just in our remaining minute here, we have an emailed-in comment that I want to be sure to read. This is from Arielle. She just says, I would like to suggest that the Terre Haute leaves do not go in the trash but get composted. Also, educate citizens to compost their own leaves rather than burden the waste system. We use all of our neighbors' leaves as free mulch. We use all of our neighbors' leaves as free mulch with great results. There is this myth that leaves kill plants. Tell that to the forests.
Yeah. You know, another good point. And one of the things we do when we pick up the leaves in Terre Haute, we don't recycle them, but actually St. Mary of the Woods College has a new boiler system, and they're looking for – it's a biomass system.
Really?
They're looking for any kind of, you know, sticks, leaves, anything they can burn in there like that of a natural product. So we're working with them right now where we will be delivering those to our dumps. Well, I shouldn't call it a dump site, but that's what it is. It's a temporary transfer station, if you will, where we take all the trees that fall after storms and all our leaves, and they will come and we'll be loading their trailers. Instead of us dumping it on the ground up there, we'll be loading their trailers. They'll take it to St. Mary of the Woods College, and they'll burn it to provide, you know, the heating and cooling for their system. So
we just worked
that out. I just had a meeting with the Sisters of Providence about that this week. We're going to be getting with them again next week and kind of firming this up. But so it's not all going to the dump. You know, if you put it in the trash, those bags will, but most of it is going to not to
biomass,
from a mulch perspective, but but it's heading to the biomass. That's
all
not where it's gone in the past, but that's where it's going to go in the future.
Good stuff. That's about all the time we have for Mr. Mayor. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
This has been Ask the Mayor with Terre Haute Mayor Duke Benick. Join us again next week on Ask the Mayor. Bloomington Mayor Mark Cruzan will be our guest. Support for Ask the Mayor comes from the South Dunn Street Project, represented by Brian Lappin Real Estate.